So these qualities we call the paramis are thought to be the qualities of mind that need to be perfected to be liberated, to be truly happy. And it's said that the Buddha in his many lives sort of worked on one at a time. And so the Jataka tales are the stories of his various incarnations, animal and human, in which he perfected one of these traits in each of them. And they're wonderful stories. Check them out sometime. Don't have time for any of them tonight. But they also are in very closely related to action. Each of them has the mental state, but then also it leads to certain kinds of action in our lives. So I like using them. I didn't even notice until I was sort of preparing the talk that I'd done the same thing last year. I'd use the paramis in a little different way than we're doing this year. But I think it's just a very useful lens to look at our experience. And so what I'd encourage as I go through these, you won't need the paper while we're meditating, but that's more for a take-home. As I do the guided meditation, is to just sit with each of these qualities, and I'll give a brief introduction to them and maybe a couple of illustrations. And then notice in your heart how you react when you hear about them. If there are some that are particularly difficult, that's really worth noting. And if there's some that just seem very easeful and seem like they're very much integrated into the way that you live right now, notice that too. And then, just for setting an intention for the sitting, what we'll be doing with the discussion afterwards is I'll actually be asking you, you know, what you're seeing maybe currently in your life as sort of strengths and weaknesses. Which of these seem particularly well developed at the moment for you, and which are maybe the least, and you have some kind of intention of maybe working on those in the future. So that's what we'll be working with, and just really encourage all of this in a spirit of exploration and investigation. None of this is about judgment. None of it is about measurement. Teacher had a favorite saying. He'd say, any evaluation of your own practice is always wrong. You know, we're in the middle of it, and I've always kind of had that sense. I mean, you know, I judge my own sitting practice, but to actually know what the effect of the practice is, you know, when anybody asks me, you know, how does this practice affect your life? I said, I don't know, ask her, and I point to my wife, because she would have a more objective view of that. So please don't use this in any way to judge your practice or find it wanting. What we're really trying to do here is to really just explore the current state of our minds and see what attributes can be helpful and maybe that we can rely on, and which ones we might want to develop or seek ways to strengthen. Okay, that's the intention. So if you want to just settle in, definitely find a comfortable posture. We'll be doing this for a while. And thank you, Margaret, for lowering the lights a bit. That's great. And bringing the attention first to the body as a whole, sitting here in this room. Just noticing the contact points of the body with the chair or cushion. Noticing the movement of the breath. No need to do anything special with the breath, just allowing it to assume its natural rhythm. And as with any meditation, in this guided meditation, thoughts will arise, emotions may arise, and just note them as you would a sensation in the body or a taste or smell. No need to judge or change or do anything different. Noticing that hearing is happening. That hearing really takes no effort at all. So in the same sense, allowing the awareness to take in not just the sound and meaning of the words, but also the reaction in the mind as we go through each of these. And starting with the first of the paramis, dana, or generosity. These Buddhist lists are not put together randomly. Dana is first for a very good reason. Many countries in Asia, dana is the first practice that's given to lay people before they teach meditation. That act of letting go is repeated again and again in our practice. We're constantly letting go of something as we practice this path. And on this sheet that Kamala and Steve put together, they have a quote from the Buddha, "If beings knew as I know the benefits of generosity, they would not let an opportunity go by without sharing." So thinking of all the ways that you have shared your time, your resources, your talents in the past year, thinking of the joy that that's brought to others. Thinking of how you've shared the Dhamma with people in this community in the past year and the joy that's brought. Thinking of the generosity that you've received from others. Just the very fact that we're sitting in this hall is a result of generosity from so many people, many of whom we don't even know. Second parami is sila, which is ethical behavior, morality. It's also taught as a foundational practice. And although in this Western tradition we've not given sila the cachet that meditation has, the Buddha taught that the practice of virtuous behavior itself can take us all the way to complete liberation. Virtue has non-remorse as its benefit and reward. Non-remorse has gladness as its benefit and reward. Gladness has joy as its benefit and reward. Joy has serenity as its benefit and reward. Serenity has happiness as its benefit and reward. Happiness has concentration as its benefit and reward. Concentration has insightful understanding as its benefit and reward. Insightful understanding has non-attachment as its benefit and reward. non-attachment has liberation as its benefit and reward. In this way, virtue leads step by step to the highest. So thinking of the ways that perhaps the precepts served as a support in your life and in your meditation. The third parami is nekama, or renunciation. And although we might think of that as a negative or some sort of sacrifice, think about times in your life when you've been able to get free of unhelpful habits, just the freedom that comes with that feeling. And in this season of giving, as it's known, sometimes the balance can swing over to an unhelpful indulgence. And this quality of renunciation can be a balance. Might think of a time when you felt truly satisfied . That's a moment of renunciation . That's a moment of not needing things to be any other way except how they are . The next parami is panya, or wisdom. Sayadaw Tejaniya says that wisdom inclines towards the good, but is not attached to it. It shies away from what is not good, but has no aversion to it. Wisdom recognizes the difference between skillful and unskillful, and it clearly sees the undesirability of the unskillful. So this is discernment. Reflecting on the times when we've been able to make wise decisions, based on a balanced state of mind and based on values. In our deepest center of compassion, kindness, thinking of all the times that we've benefited from the wisdom of others. The next parami is virya, or energy. And it's the patient energy of perseverance. Ramana Maharshi says, "No one succeeds without effort. A mind at peace is not your birthright. Those who succeed owe their liberation to perseverance." So thinking about times when we've had a calm, balanced energy, when we've perhaps given others energy by our encouragement, thinking about times when effort and diligence has paid off in some accomplishment. Next comes kanti, or patience, which the Buddha called the supreme virtue. This practice requires patience on so many different levels, the patience in being with our experience from moment to moment, not needing it to be any other way. Patience with what the Buddha called this gradual training, just allowing it to unfold as our lives slowly unfold. On the practical level, just being patient in a world that seems so dependent on things moving quickly. On simple answers being found to complex problems. So perhaps reflecting on a time when we just spent some quality time with someone who needed to be listened to. The next quality is satya, or truthfulness. We've heard many instructions on the importance of speech that's truthful. This goes a bit deeper than that. This is actually living in a way that's true, consistent with our values. Some of you may know David Mas Masumoto, the organic farmer from Fresno County, who writes periodically in the Sunday Sacramento Bee, usually with some nice artwork accompanying it. And his column a couple of weeks ago was about legacy. He says, perhaps legacy is defined by our deeds. A person's actions will tell us all we need to know. William Shakespeare said, no legacy is so rich as honesty. Mr. Masumoto says, I trust I will be remembered by authentic deeds, no matter my desires and hopes. In the end, living your own truth is all that matters. So reflecting on ways in which we lived our own truth, we lived consistent with our deepest values. Next is aditana, or resolution, not in the sense of a New Year's resolution, but in the sense of resolve. And the quote from the Buddha on our sheet is, these are the four resolves: the resolve for wisdom, the resolve for truth, the resolve for generosity, and the resolve for peace. One should not neglect wisdom, should preserve truth, should cultivate generosity, and should train in peace. So aditana is that quality that allows us to get through difficult times. It's that quality that allows a caregiver to put up with behaviors that from the outside people will say, how did you ever do that? I could never do that. And yet, put in the same situation, people find that there's this inner strength, this resolve that can be called upon to get through situations that might have seemed impossible if they'd been presented to us as theory. But in practice, we have resources that perhaps we can't even imagine. So reflecting perhaps on times when we have gotten over the hump we've worked our way through difficult situations, perhaps with a family member, challenging work situation, challenging school assignment. It's not a powering through without regard for what's in the way. This quality of adhidhāna is, again, being true to our values and not allowing apparent obstacles to be the end of the story. Next quality is metta, or loving kindness, boundless friendliness, quality that's taken quite a beating in this political year. Quality that's so needed by humans being the social animals that we are. Metta is boundless, not only in the sense that it really doesn't have a limit in terms of its strength, but also doesn't have a limit in terms of how wide the circle is of friendship. Sometimes we can allow the circle of our caring to be reduced to that of perhaps immediate family members. What the boundless nature of metta calls us to do is to extend that circle to all beings. So reflecting on times when we've been the recipient of kindness, reflecting on times when the kindness in our heart has just naturally overflowed, unforced, this quality is really part of our true nature. It just spontaneously spills out when conditions are right. So thinking of times when we've exhibited kindness and friendliness to others, perhaps even to strangers or to difficult people in our lives. tenth and final parami, which is last in most of the lists in which it's included, is upekkha, or equanimity. And it's particularly important to remember at this time that this is not a detached indifference. It's not a withdrawal from the world. True equanimity is a recognition that there's really no separation between ourselves and others. That it's really impossible to be separate. It's not the nature of things. Equanimity is accepting, acknowledging, being intimate with both the pleasant and unpleasant experiences of life. Not allowing that to shut us down or close our hearts. The traditional equanimity phrase is included here. All beings are owners of their actions. Their happiness or unhappiness depends on their actions and not upon my wishes for them. If you do the five daily reflections, recollections, that's the fifth one. Just reminding ourselves that our own happiness or unhappiness depends on our actions and not upon our wishes for ourselves. That we're both the owners and the heirs of our actions. This balance, this acceptance of both the pleasant and the unpleasant is beautifully expressed in this poem by Rumi, rendered by Coleman Barks with John Moyne, called Bird Wings. Your grief for what you've lost lifts a mirror up to where you are bravely working. Expecting the worst, you look, and instead, here's the joyful face you've been wanting to see. Your hand opens and closes, and opens and closes. If it were always a fist, or always stretched open, you would be paralyzed. Your deepest presence is in every small contracting and expanding, the two as beautifully balanced and coordinated as bird wings.